Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom Revi'i, Wednesday, the fourth day of Sivan, 5786, corresponding to May 20th. And we are right in the middle of Shloshet Yomei Hagbalah. Tomorrow, believe it or not, is Erev Yom Tov. We'll talk more after Tehillim. Let's start again with Kuf. Mizmor LeTodah, Hariu LaAdonai Kol HaAretz, Ivdu Et Adonai B'Simcha, Bo'u LeFanav Birnana, De'u Ki Adonai Hu Elohim, Hu Asanu V'lo Anachnu Amo V'Tzon Marito. Bo'u Sha'arav B'Todah, Chatzerotav B'Tehillah, Hodu Lo Baruch Hu Shem. Ki Tov Adonai Le'olam Chasto, V'Ador V'Ador Emunato. Mark. Oh no, David is there. How do you like that? Just in time. Kuf Kof Aleph, David.
Yevamalos esoyna yelehari meayin yevo ezri me marana yosei shmaim laarez. Al yitein amotrag lacha ayanum shomrecha hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael Adonai shomrecha Adonai tzilcha ayad yiminecha yom ha-mashemesh lo yakecha v'yareach ba'layla Adonai yishmar ocha mikol ra yishmar es nafshecha Adonai yishmar tzeizcha v'orecha me'ata v'yad olam.
Okay, David, continue. Kuf Lamed.
Shir HaMalos Mimamakim Prasicha Adonai Adonai Shema Bekoli Tienos Necha Kashuvos Lekol Tachnunai Imavonos Tishmar Ya Adonai Miyamal Kim Chaslicha Laman Tivarei Kivisi Adonai Kivsa Namshi Livaro Ho Chalti Navshi Ladonai Mishamim Laboker Shamarim Laboker Yachel Yisrael, El Adonai, Kim Adonai Hachesed, Varbe Imo Fidus, Luhu Yiftes Yisrael, Mikol Avonosav.
Just a point for you, David, and for everybody else. The correct breaking up of the pasuk is Nafshi Lashem, pause, Mishomrim Laboker, Shomrim Laboker. That's based on the Tehillim trup, which is not the normal trup we're used to seeing. Mark.
Mi shibirach avosenu Abraham tavi Yaakov, li varech es chayalei tzeva hagana li Yisrael, vasachei kochos habitachon, ha'omedim al mishmar artenu ve'arei Eloheinu, ve'alochamim ba'adenu, min halavanon ve'abibar mitzrayim, min hayam hagadol ad vav arava, l'kol makom shehem, bayavasha, ba'avir u'bayam, yitein Adonai ezraizenu, akamim aleinu, nigafim lifneihem, hakadosh baruch hu, yishmor v'yatzil es chayalinu, mikol tzarabet zukon, mikol nega machala, Vishlach barachah v'hatzlacha b'chol ma'aseh yedeihem. Yader sonenu tachtehim. V'atarein b'cheser yishua uva'ateres tzachon. Yikuyam b'hem ha'asu. Ki Adonai Elohechem ha'olech imachem li'lachem l'chem imoyevechem lo'siyah eschem. V'nomar amon.
Amen. Together, Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uva'shivya. Ha'omedim bein bayam, bein bayabasha uvein ba'avir. המקום ירחם עליהם ויוציאם מצרה לרווחה ומאפלה לאורה ומשיבעוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב ונאמר אמן. And David, take this as a compliment, but it's a general comment that I have. I love chazonos, and except when I'm davening. In other words, my shul in my childhood used to be a place in Crown Heights where the big names came once a year, Krushevitsky and a bunch of others. And the only problem I have with Chazonus when I hear it while I'm davening is I forget to daven because I'm just hearing, the music. That's what happened to me. And happens often. I have to remind myself that I'm supposed to be saying that also. But once I hear the way the tune that you use, or whatever you call it, it's not a tune, for the Shir HaMalot and Shir LaMalot, I just listen, and then halfway through I said, hey, I want to say that also. So I'm comparing you with Bishopsky. That's pretty good. Okay. Lot to talk about, and as usual, priority goes to questions if you have it, if you have them, but let me start. Minhag for Shavuot. First of all, Shavuot is famous for not having the special mitzvot of shofar on Rosh Hashanah and lulav and esrog and sukkah on Sukkot and matzah on Pesach. It sort of is meant not to have a special mitzvah because Torah is its mitzvah. And notwithstanding that, there are plenty of minhagim that have developed. For example, greenery. There are people who decorate the homes and shuls that decorate the shuls with leaves, branches, flowers, asterisk. Once you get to flowers, you have to be very careful that it's Shavuos kind of flowers and not looks like, I don't know how to put it, like goyish flowers. This is a problem when people, lahavdil, go to visit a kever. We put a stone on the kever, and bringing flowers is not usually done. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with bringing flowers, but I think we've grown into that feeling of that's what other people do, and we don't copy that. So flowers are fine for Shavuot, but greenery is, I think, preferred. That means you find a place where it's legal to cut some stuff, and you cut a few branches with green leaves, and you could put it near your front door or on your door or anything that you want. And shuls will do what they do. And sometimes it's very tasteful floral arrangements, and sometimes you get that little shiver, well, I do, of doesn't look like it should in a shul. I'm saying this as a personal feeling, not as anything halachic. But the purpose, the origin, is let's say at least two things. There's a medrash that says that Har Sinai, normally barren, was gave forth vegetation for the experience of Matan Torah, and they support that medrash. The medrash is supported by the fact that the Torah is very clear that no one is allowed to go on to Har Sinai during the period where the Shekhinah was there, including animals. You have to be very careful to not allow your animals to graze on Har Sinai, and that sort of supports the idea that there was greenery. So one reason or origin of the minhag is to remember or simulate Har Sinai, which became, ready for the word, verdant. Don't ask me to spell it. It's either A-N-T or E-N-T, and I don't remember which. Probably A-N-T, I don't know. Okay. Now, also, according to our tradition, Moshe Rabbeinu was born on the 7th of Adar. The Torah tells us that they were able to hide him for 3 months, after which they couldn't hide him anymore. This is based upon the concept or the idea that the Egyptians knew when women were due, and during the decree of Kol HaBein HaYilod HaYeorot HaShlichu, they made checks of homes to see if boys were born without people knowing about it, and they would take them and they would drown them. And after 3 months from the 7th of Adar is the 7th of Sivan, or the 6th of Sivan, and that's a separate machloket as to exactly which day of Sivan the Torah was given, because we don't use the date, we use instead the 50th day from the counting of the Omer on the second day of Pesach. In any event, Moshe was put into the basket and hidden among the
And it
reeds.
was 13,163 square feet on 2.9.
Was hidden among the reeds at the Nile, and then he was found by Bat Paro. And being hidden among the reeds is also commemorated on Shavuot with the greenery. Then you also have the idea that Shavuot is Yom HaBikurim. Now that's a little misleading, because Bikurim could not be brought on Yom Tov, but Shavuot was the beginning of the Bikurim season. Mishnah says that Bikurim are brought from after Shavuot, all the way till Sukkot, and then even as late as Hanukkah time, after which you don't bring Bikurim anymore. And there's a machloket whether you make the bracha on Bikurim if it's between Sukkot and Hanukkah, but that, is neither here nor there for now. So that's already three reasons, because Bikurim baskets were decorated with fruits and leaves and things like that. And all of that combines to the minhag of greenery on Shavuot. And I'll just mention again, oh, also, which shouldn't be missed, the fact that the Mishnah tells us that we daven, or we are judged for the fruits of the trees on Shavuot. We are judged as people on Rosh Hashanah. We are judged for grain on Pesach. Shavuot, we are judged for fruits of the tree. And Sukkot, Nidonin al Hamayim, for rainfall and water. So if Shavuot is associated with the fruits of the tree, then a branch of a tree with the leaves, at least, is part of the minhag also. Now, I just want to add something, especially before we get to dairy, and that is that there are sometimes some things are an origin of the custom, and sometimes the thing that's associated with it came after the custom already started. Okay, and sometimes we don't know which came first. So let's move into that. Anybody have any comments about the greenery business? Care should be taken that things look Jewish and not otherwise, if you get my point. Okay. Dairy. Now, dairy is an interesting topic, because there are some reasons that are given which make sense as to why we have dairy food on Shavuot, and other reasons make sense only if you have both dairy and meat. So let's start like this. Shavuot is Yom Tov. Yom Tov has the mitzvah of Simcha. In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, Simcha is primarily defined as special korbanot, including shalmei simcha, the korban shlamim of joy. And after or since the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the definition of simcha is modified to ein simcha ella bibasar v'yayin. Simcha is defined as meat and wine. Furthermore, Shulchan Aruch mentions that people have to realize that different people have different things they enjoy. So the Shulchan Aruch specifically mentions that a husband should get his wife or pay for a new dress or piece of jewelry, and children with games and toys. I don't know if you guys have the experience, I'm talking to the guys here, that it is a much smarter thing sometimes to pay for your wife's choice of dress or jewelry rather than trying to buy something without consulting. That's a very, very dangerous thing. I actually bought a necklace yesterday, and I said to the woman behind the counter, I am doing this with trepidation, and give me that Petek Hachlafa because that's the most important thing. And that's what happened, including the use of it. Not yet, but soon. Anyway, so Simcha has a lot of definitions. A note for vegetarians, even though we say Ein Simcha Ella B'Basar V'Yayin, and Rav Kook, Zatzal, who was known to be a vegetarian, was not a pure vegetarian because he ate chicken on Shabbat, not during the week. Because he felt that that was appropriate for Shabbat. But the basic statement for vegetarians is if you don't like meat, or you don't want to eat meat, or you're committed not to eat meat for whatever reason, then it doesn't become simcha to force you to eat meat. And therefore, what's preferable is your favorite dish. So if a vegetarian loves lasagna with cheese, then that's his Simchat Yom Tov. I'm not talking only about Shavuot because lasagna with cheese fits into the dairy side of the foods as well. But the basar should definitely not be omitted, especially if you like meat, and your choice should be your favorite, or one of your favorites, or the one you look forward to, because it is a part of the definition of simcha. Now, what I started to say before is that there are some reasons that led to the minhag of having dairy, and other minhagim, or other ideas of once we have dairy because of other reasons. A reason was attached to it. For example, the word chalav, numeric value 40. Chet is 8, lamed is 30, bet is 2, totals 40. 40 has an association with Matan Torah because the full experience of receiving the Torah was not just on Shavuot, Zman Matan Toratenu, but it was for the 40 days and 40 nights that Moshe Rabbeinu remained on Har Sinai, or went back up to Har Sinai, in order to receive the whole picture. Let me jump a little. The world, and sadly, some Jews as well, think or say or believe that God gave us the Ten Commandments, not through Moshe Rabbeinu, but Yul Brynner, but that's an, I mean, Charlton Heston, different story. But they base it on the account in Parshat Yitro, which we're going to read on Friday morning, which seems to be that this is what was Matan Torah. All you have to do is to go to the end of Parshat Mishpatim, where it says there, Ve'el Moshe Omar, Alei El Hashem, Ata Va'aron Nadav Avihu, etc., etc. Not what I wanted to read to you. Where is it? Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Alei Elai Hahora, Ve'heyesham, go up the mountain and remain there. Ve'etna lecha et luchot ha'even, I will give you the tablets of stone, ve'ha Torah, ve'ha mitzvah. Asher katavti lahorotam. Torah there means the whole Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and mitzvah is the explanation orally of all the mitzvot in the Torah. So it's a full package deal. And I think that that's an important point to mention at your Yom Tov table, as well as at any context where you're talking to other people about Shavuot, because the Aseret HaDibrot is like the down payment that God spoke and Moshe spoke at Har Sinai. Didn't even get the Luchot until months later. Didn't get the Sefer Torah until years after that because of Chet HaMeraglim. And during the whole period of 40 years in the Midbar, we received piece by piece, one at a time, the mitzvot of the Torah. So when I say that Chalav is numerically 40, and that reminds us of the 40 days and 40 nights that Moshe spent on Har Sinai, it's not just that Moshe spent that time. It really represents the Torah because Matan Torah was not a one-day experience. It was a full experience. And if just that little gematria of Chalav equal 40 can trigger a reminder, a statement, a discussion that the Torah was much, much more than what the Chumash tells us happened on that 50th day. Actually, it doesn't give a time for it or a date for it, but what we believe happened on Har Sinai. Okay, now, practical. Some people will have dairy on Yom Tov night and a meat meal and lunch. And that has a certain logic because nighttime is Shavuot specific, because we mention it in the davening. We mention it, well, we do that in the daytime also. Mention it in Kiddush. And the Kiddush in the morning is generic for Yom Tov. No special mention of Shavuot. So it always appealed to my logic that the dairy meal should be the first meal at night, and the meat meal should be during the day. There are people who, for whatever other reasons, will switch them and have meat at night and dairy in the morning. And that's fine also. And there are some people who in the morning will have kiddush with a little chalavi and then later have a fleishik lunch, which appeals to them more. And there are people who are lactose intolerant that won't have dairy at all. And obviously that has to take priority over forcing yourself to eat something because it's a minhag. The minhagim are not absolute. They are flexible to the needs of people. And that's the story. Now, what I tried one year way back in Israel was
Wait half an hour.
what I tried one year in the Israel Center, which didn't succeed too well, was making Kiddush at night, Shavuos night, when people were going to stay and learn all night, making Kiddush, making Hamotzi, having cheese blintzes or ice cream, whatever, bench, then have a short Dvar Torah, change the tablecloths, and serve with a new Lechem Mishnah, a fleishik meal. It dragged it out too long, and people got flustered by it because they were used to either dairy or meat or whatever.
Why don't you do what we do, which is for both day and night, make kiddush, have milchik kiddush, and then wait and have a glass of wine, change the table pads, and then wash, make hamotzi, and have a fleishik meal for those that want. That way, it doesn't slip it out so much.
Okay. You're talking about nighttime also?
Yeah, both meals.
How do you do it at
We
night?
have milk at Kiddush, then a glass of wine, what have
What
you.
do you have?
Go wash, make hamotzi, and then have, for those that want, a fleishik meal.
1 second. After you make kiddush, what do you eat?
Milchik. Oh, cheese blintzes, you're quite right. And
Okay.
cheesecake, and there's Mazonis stuff on the table.
Okay, I'm not so happy with that idea on the
Why?
night meal, because I think Lechem Mishnah needs to go right after Kiddush. But could be that in your experience, things were different. But you could do that. There are a lot of combinations here. Let's
I
talk
know.
a bit about the reasons. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, which says that Torah is like devash v'chalav tachat lishonech, like honey and milk under your tongue. This, I don't know if it's the origin of having dairy. It probably isn't. It also leaves out the honey if you're just talking dairy. But because of this pasuk in Shir HaShirim, I would usually take yogurt with a little bit of honey and mix that together to match that pasuk of Devash v'chalav tachat lishonech. Then you have the fact that just like a Baal Tshuva today who makes a commitment to be kosher will subsist on yogurts and cottage cheese until he gets his kelim koshered and new dishes, and then gets into the meat situation of kosher, that B'nai Yisrael, in the course of revelation at Sinai, went from B'nai Noach to B'nai Yisrael. As B'nai Noach, they did not have to follow the laws of kashrut. So they were like Balei Tshuva or Geirim at the experience at Sinai. And to remember that concept, we eat dairy dishes like a Geir or a Baal Tshuva will do it. Har Sinai is called Har Gavnunim, which sounds like Gavina and is related to the word Gavina. And it's a nickname of Har Sinai from Tehillim. Then you have other reasons which talk to both Fleishik and Milchik. For example, in Pesach, you have on the Seder plate shnei tavshilin, two cooked foods. We use a beitzah and a zeruah, but technically it could be any two cooked foods. And since Shavuot is not only a holiday on its own, but it also is the atzeret, the culmination of Pesach, then eating dairy and meat becomes like the two tavshilin. Furthermore, especially in the times where people ate more with their fingers and less with utensils, you weren't allowed to have the same loaf of bread at a fleishik meal and a dairy meal. Because just picture having a loaf, make hamotzi, you're at a meat meal, break it off, give out pieces. Now you're eating, and you're eating a drumstick with your hands, and they're a little greasy, and you reach for the loaf and you cut another slice. And because of the contamination, fleishik versus milchik, the halacha developed not to use the same bread, same loaf of bread at both a meat meal and a dairy meal. And that requires two different breads. And once you say two different breads, you think of the shtei halechem, the two loaves of Shavuot, which is the mincha chadasha l'Hashem that we've been speaking about for the last 48 nights and one more to go. Now that doesn't take into account that there's also Lechem Mishnah at every meal. So there are your two loaves, but one way or the other. Now, back to dairy. That would be a both. Back to dairy, you have Moshe Rabbeinu again, being taken from the Nile 3 months after he was born, attempted to be breastfed by an Egyptian wet nurse. He refused. And the Medrash says that the mouth that would teach Torah to Bnei Yisrael did not suckle from an Egyptian woman. That's when Miriam had the great idea to go to Bat Paro and say, "Would you like me to bring someone from the Jews to nurse the baby?" And she ended up bringing Moshe's mother, who then got paid for breastfeeding her own son, which I always thought was a cool thing and probably contributes to the reputation, earned or not earned, of Jews making deals and stuff like that. But that's not the point. The point is, and breast milk is not milchik anyway, but doesn't matter. It's the idea that mother's milk played a role in that day of Matan Torah 80 years before it actually happened. Then you have also, getting back to both milk and meat, you have a pasuk in the Torah mentioned twice, appearing twice, once in Mishpatim and once in Ki Tisa. Reshit bikurei admatcha tavi beit Hashem Elokecha, bring bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash, lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo, and don't cook meat with milk. Very strange combination of two seemingly very different mitzvot. Bring bikurim and don't cook milk and meat together. And I heard a nice explanation that came from Aaron Adler through his father, David Adler, Zichrono Livracha, that I also knew. And I remember when I told Aaron Adler that Dvar Torah that his father had told me, so he laughed and said, "I told my father." So it's somewhere in the Adler family. And that is that there was a pagan ritual in the old religions to slaughter a baby goat and cook it in its own mother's milk, hence lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. And that was supposed to be an appeasement to the goddess of fertility of the ground. And that's how they used to petition their gods for bountiful crops. Lahavdil, elef alfei havdalot. How do we do it? By doing the mitzvot that are tluyot ba'aretz. Bikurim being one of them, and trumot and masrot and so on and so forth. And therefore, there's that tremendous contrast between how we do petitioning of God for bountiful crops and how the pagans did it. And that's why it says in the same pasuk, lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. Now, I have another reading on that whole thing. Oh, also, there's one other thing I wanted to add. There are sources, I don't know how universally they are held, that Bnei Yaakov never had milk or dairy because they thought that dairy, milk from an animal, was eiver min hachai. And Bnei Noach are forbidden to eiver min hachai as well as we are. And that assumption that they were under was changed at Har Sinai when the Torah was to teach them, no, you're allowed to have milk, that's not eiver min hachai, And you're allowed to have meat, but you can't have them together. So, in celebration of that, so to speak, we have dairy and we have meat, obviously not together with proper separation, in order to remind us that our ancestors at Matan Torah became eaters of both dairy and meat, but properly separated, something like that. I would like to suggest the following. Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo, as veterans of these shiurim know well, because I talk about it a lot, is a classic example of the need for Torah she'ba'al peh to explain what the Torah is talking about. Thou shalt not cook a gedi in the milk of its mother is extremely misleading if you take it literally. Because what's a gedi? The young of a farm animal, so a calf, a lamb, and a kid are gedi. What about cow meat, beef? That's not included in the definition of gedi. What about milk? Not from the mother of the animal we're talking about. That's not included in the words. So lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo leads to, has led to, and continues to lead to misconceptions of what the Torah is saying. Comes Torah she'ba'al peh, if you accept it, if you believe it, if you consider it, which we are supposed to, as an inseparable part of Torah, then we understand what lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo means, and we understand the rabbinic prohibitions that were added to the Torah violations, such as chicken with milk, such as a waiting time, such as not eating them together, even if they're not cooked. All of that is rabbinic law, which means to me that the whole topic of milk and meat contains written word, impossible to understand on its own, oral law, explaining what the Torah means, and rabbinic law, which becomes part of the whole package of Torah. And I mentioned this on Monday, I think, about there are 620 letters in the Aseret HaDibrot, and they are used as a reminder of 613 mitzvot d'oraita and seven mitzvot d'rabbanan. So having dairy and explaining it at your table to your family and guests and discussing it is like a microcosm or an example, a good example of really what belongs to the whole Torah. There are plenty of things in the Torah that cannot be understood at all or properly without Torah she'ba'al peh. Just to give you one from Parshat Noso, I don't know if I mentioned this on Monday. In Parshat Noso, among many other things, we're told that a person who is tameh is sent outside the machaneh, and the Torah uses three types of tumah: mitzora, tzoraat, zav, and tameh mate. All of those are tameh. A person who is a mitzora is tameh. A person who is a zav is tameh. A person who came into contact or even under the same roof with a dead body is tameh. It's all 7-day tumah, but and they all are excluded from a machaneh, not the machaneh, but the tameh. The Metzora is excluded from the entire camp of Israel, has to go outside the camp. Azav is allowed within Machane Yisrael, only excluded from Machane Leviya and Shechina. And a Tamei Mate can be among the Levim section, only has to avoid going to Machane Shechina, which is the Beit HaMikdash or the Mishkan and its courtyard, or today, where the Beit HaMikdash and courtyard stood or might have stood. So the fact is that if you read the Psukim in the Torah, it's a person who's tamei sent out of the Machaneh. You have no clue there, except for the fact that it mentions three examples, and those are not the same. But you really don't have any basis on which to say, ah, yeah, but these three different types of tumah are separated from different levels of the camp. Tirzah, you had a question?
I don't know what mizav means. What's that second type of tumor?
Azav is pretty much a sexually transmitted disease.
Okay.
I mean, that's the way that we would summarize it today. It's an unnatural emission from the body, not the natural ones.
Okay.
Okay. So I believe that since Torah is not only supposed to be learned in the Beis Medrash and formal shiurim, but Torah belongs at the family table, that doing a like show and tell. Notice we have cheese blintzes now, and we are not eating meat. And depending on who you have there and what level you could explain or ask questions, it becomes a very Shavuot appropriate topic because of this issue of Torah Shebechtav, Torah Shebaal Peh, and rabbinic law, all package deal. Which brings me to mention the minhag that among Ashkenazim to stand for the Aseret HaDibrot when they're read. And as I'm sure you know from not just me, from other places as well, that is a challenged minhag. It depends on who's writing about it. Some people will just say, well, it's a questionable practice because it highlights the Ten Commandments as opposed to the rest of the Torah. And there were people throughout the generations till this very day who will say, ah, that's the most important part of the Torah, the Aseret HaDibrot, because look, when they read it in shul, everybody stands. Or this is why it was never made part of davening. There was a move many, many centuries ago to include Aseret HaDibrot in davening. We have Oz Yashir in davening, we have Shema Yisrael in davening. So they wanted to put in Aseret HaDibrot, and it was voted down because it would lead to people saying that that was what came from God, and we got the rest from Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's not as clear as the custom of standing, but you look in Poskim today, they will range from, it's a minhag, time-honored from generations and generations, so if you do it, you do it. There are some that claim, well, the rabbi of the shul usually gets that aliyah of the Aseret HaDibrot, so when you stand in honor of him, and you remain standing until he finishes his aliyah, and poof, you're standing for Aseret HaDibrot, but you're really honoring the Rav. And there are others who suggest to stand before, at the beginning of the aliyah, before the Aseret HaDibrot, so then it's not manifest that you're doing it exactly for the Aseret HaDibrot, to the point where you then have other poskim. I mentioned Sfardim, so Rav Avadya Yosef was vehemently opposed to the custom of standing. And the one thing that he said was, do not be sitting among standers. In other words, he said it would be disrespectful to the Aseret HaDibrot if you took what he said and insisted on sitting down when everybody in the shul is standing up. So you either find someplace else to daven, or you're staying the whole time, the whole aliyah, the whole sedra, or whatever, various and sundry things. But that point is what I'm saying. In other words, a shiur on one of the many shiurim on Leil Shavuot should not only be about the Aseret HaDibrot, although that's a natural topic because of Shavuot. But I'm giving a shiur, for example, tomorrow night on Birchot HaMitzvah, making brachot on mitzvot, or why there are some mitzvot that we don't make a bracha on and stuff. What does that have to do with Matan Torah? It has everything to do with Matan Torah, because making brachot is one of the Sheva Mitzvot Rabbanon, and I want that point to get across specifically in my choice of topics. Comments, questions? Let's move on.
On Shavuos, do you use Tam Elyon or Tam Tachton?
Say again?
Shavuos, Tam Elyon or Tam Tachton for the
According
Pesach Olam.
to most communities, anytime the Aseret HaDibrot is read in public, it's Ta'amei HaElyon. For those who don't know what that means, it's a more elaborate kind of Torah notes. They're called Ta'amei HaElyon because most of them are above the words instead of below the words, the letters. But what its most important aspect is, it presents the Aseret HaDibrot as 10 Dibrot, rather than reading them as 13 psukim. So the original guideline, or the standard guideline, was when you study Torah on your own without a minyan, and you're reading the psukim, you should read it in the more matter-of-fact notes of Tameh HaTachton. In public, we're talking about Parshat Yitro, Shavuot morning, and Vo'et Chanan. Most communities read it in Ta'amei HaElyon. Vilna Gaon, whose practices really became Minhag Yerushalayim because of his Talmidim who came in the early 1800s and basically started the Ashkenazi community in Yerushalayim, is that when you read the Aseret HaDibrot on Yitro and Vo'et Chanan, it should be Tameh HaTachton, where it's 13 psukim, just like the rest of the 5,846 psukim in the Torah. No distinction. And that fits the idea of being careful not to make such a fuss about the Aseret HaDibrot. However, Shavuot morning, when that is the theme of the morning's reading, even the Gra and Minhag Yerushalayim is to read it b'ta'amei ha'elyon. I never heard of anybody, could be, but I never heard of any community that would read it b'ta'amei ha'tachton. Now, so we'll call upon our Baal Kriya. He gets insulted if we call him a Baal Kore. To give us a little sample, take, for example, commandments number 6, 7, 8, and 9. Got it, Mark?
Sorry, I need to turn on the light. Right.
Pasuk Yud Gimel, Perek Chaf.
My guidance. Oh,
No.
Tirtah.
Start with
What?
Tameh HaTachton.
Oh. Lo tirtah, lo tirtah, lo tirtah.
No.
I'm having trouble.
I'll do it with Tameh HaTachton.
Okay.
Tzach lo sinaf lo signov lo sanevereacha eid shaker. No divisions there, except for the trup. Four of the Ten Commandments are in one single pasuk. each one in its own parsha with space before it and afterwards. But when you read it as a pasuk, the pasuk simply says, Lo sirtzach, lo sin'af, lo signov, lo sa'anev reacha eid shaker. However, when you read it in Tameha Elyon, Mark,
Yeah, what I didn't realize the Tikkun has it in Tame only in Elyon. That's so I didn't realize that. That's what I would do. Okay. Lo tirtzach, lo tin'av, lo tignov, lo sa'anev reacha eid shaker, lo sa'chmo'od beis reacha, lo sa'chmo'od eishes reacha, ve'avdo ba'amatzo, v'sharo v'chamoro, v'chol atzer l'reacha.
Okay, so I think in that one pasuk, he read two of them. You get the point. So there is a good argument to say, don't overdo the Aseret HaDibrot, and that's why the Gra says when you read it in regular Parshat Yitro, read it like any of the psukim. It does not have the drama that it has on Shavuot morning, even from the beginning. To read it like this. Let's do Shabbos. Okay, Mark? I'll read it in Tameha Tachton. Zochores Yom HaShabbos L'Kaddishah Sheshes Yomim Tavod V'Yosisa Kol Melachtecha V'Yom HaShvi'i Shabbos L'Adonai Elohecha Lo Saseh Kol Melacha Ata Uvincho Vitecha Avdecha ki yomim and continue. Just the pasuk, another pasuk. Four psukim that make up Shabbos, read as four psukim. But Shavuot morning, drum roll, Mark.
Dachor et yom hashabbos l'kaddishah deishes yamim ta'avod ve'asisa chol malachecha v'yom hashvi'i shabbos l'adonai elohecha lo sa'aseh chol malacha ata ubincha uvitecha adcha va'amasecha ubhemtecha v'gerecha asher bisharecha ki sheishes yamim asa Adonai es hashamayim ve'es ha'aretz es hayom ve'es kol asher bam vayanach v'yom hashvi'i Alke in Vera Adonai as Yom Hashabbos Vaikadatehu Kabedas Avicha Vesimecha Laman Yarichun Yamecha Al Adama Asher Adonai Eloheka No Sein Law.
Okay, so there is a flare at the end of each of the Dibrot, which you're not doing, but that's you're forgiven for that. Anyway, that's the point. The Aseret HaDibrot, first of all, to translate them as Ten Commandments is misleading because there are 14 mitzvot within the Aseret HaDibrot and a 15th in Vo'et Chanan. So it's 14 or 15 mitzvot and 13 psukim that make up the Aseret HaDvarim. The first two sentences are separate psukim, but they are merged into a single parsha because Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelecha Elohim Achirim Al Panai are two sides of the opposite sides of the same coin. So again, most communities, Tamei HaElyon, no matter when you read it, in Yerushalayim, not all over, Tameha Tachton on Yitro and Vo'et Chanan and Tameha Elyon on Shavuot and Tameha Elyon when you have a bar mitzvah boy that practiced with Tameha Elyon, not knowing that we do it in Tameha Tachton, so he does it that way. And similarly, a kid that prepared it with Tameha Tachton, who davens in a shul where they're going to do Tameha Elyon, it's going to mess things up also. Anyway, that wasn't, got carried away a little bit on that. Bottom line, have a very good Yontif, a joyful Yom Tov, and a meaningful Yom Tov. Hopefully, you'll share some of the stuff that you got here with the people at your table. And I always smile when I think of the Torahthons we had in the old days at the Israel Center, which was 26 hours of shiurim in a row, compared to Shavuot night, where maybe if you go from 11 o'clock to 4:45, you're barely touching 6 hours, and some people start later, and then they go from shul to shul to see who has the better refreshments. And I don't know how much. Bottom line also on learning all night is only if it's not going to mess up your day. If you're not going to be able to daven shacharit nicely by staying up all night, if you're not going to be with your family and at meals because you're sleeping it off, then it wasn't really meant to be an absolute. It's very subjective. It's based upon the sources that say that Bnei Israel slept part of the night before they were to receive the Torah, which they didn't seem to be as excited about as they would have, because when you're excited, you can't get to sleep. So they say we are doing a tikkun, so actually called tikkun Leil Shavuot, by staying awake and learning Torah in anticipation of receiving the Torah in the morning. But the Mefarshim point out that this is not to be taken as a criticism of Bnei Israel in that generation, because they needed the sleep because of everything that they had been doing. So if you need the sleep, use the sleep. The worst thing is to stay up all night and then not even realize that you really haven't learned anything the whole night, because you were following this chart, beautiful chart that with a map of where there are shiurim all night. You say, well, that's interesting, let's go there. And then you get there, you have watermelon, and here you have cake, and there you have cookies, and it became a social thing, especially among younger teenagers, let's say. And that's not its purpose. Its purpose is to learn seriously a whole night in love and anticipation of Matan Torah. So, Chag Sameach, Shabbat Shalom, and Monday next,
Yom
Mirza Monday.
Thanks, Sameach. Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Chag Sameach, Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Chag
Thank
Sameach,
you.
Shabbat Shalom.